Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, I have Laurent Bougnon. I'm going to have to ask him if I yet know how to pronounce his name after all these years. He is the Senior Director for Identity Mine. He's a Microsoft MVP and Regional Director. He works from Zurich, Switzerland, and he is the creator of MVVM Lite. He's a Pluralsight author and presenter and an MSDN magazine author. Laurent, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Jesse. Nice to talk to you.
Now, I've known you for quite a few years.
And I would say so, yeah.
And I've asked you probably at least twice a year how to pronounce your name, and I still can't get it right, can I?
It's good enough. No worries. And I've learned to really accept pretty much anything as long as, as long as I get what I need, which is usually, my coffee at Starbucks, right?
Yes.
Or things like that. I can accept any pronunciation.
But just say your name properly once for me.
Well, so if I say the French way, right, it's Laurent Bougnon.
Laurent Bougnon. Okay, I got to work on that.
Correct.
Okay, well, it is always a blast to talk with you.
Thanks.
For so many reasons. And at the moment, you and I are both circling the same candle, which is Xamarin. I have been asked to pay a lot of attention to Xamarin for falafel, and I know that you are in the midst of making MVVM Lite work with Xamarin Forms.
That's correct.
And I wonder if we could talk about that some and the state of MVVM Lite. Let's back up just a bit. There may be one or two people who don't know what MVVM Lite is. So maybe you could give a quick introduction to that.
Sure. So basically, a few years ago, I think it was probably around 2008, like that. And as you know, back then, there was pretty much only WPF in the XAML space. Silverlight was kind of starting, but it was still, very new, and there was a lot of discussion in the WPF circles around how can we build applications in a good way. And of course, XAML has a data binding system, and so that's kind of a particularity of all the XAML based frameworks, that you have something called data binding. And data binding is a very neat way to decouple your UI from your business logic. And based on that, some very clever people came up with a design pattern, which some call the presentation model pattern, or others, like, some architects at Microsoft, and notably John Gossman, started calling the model view model pattern, and short, MVVM. And it's not a great name, but it does a job. And in the community, we were really talking about, okay, how can we basically leverage the data binding system and build, very nice applications which are decoupled. And back then, my main interest was really around design. And back then, I was still working for Siemens. And it was like my last few months at Siemens, and we had the problem that we really wanted to leverage Blend as much as possible, Blend being the visual designer that we use to create applications in WPF and later in all XAML-based frameworks. And so I had a team of designers in Princeton, and I had teams of developers all around the world, and so I needed to be as decoupled as possible. And so we decided to use MVVM, and very fast it came very apparent to us that it was kind of a boring task, because MVVM, forces you to repeat quite a lot of tasks. When you have to declare properties which are observable, it's a little bit annoying. And then when you have to declare commands, it's kind of annoying as well. And so I started writing code in order to make that task less boring and to automate as much as possible of that. And also, one of the purposes of this library was to allow me to blog about what I was doing. And back then, my blog was, I think I started blogging probably around 2007. So it was still new, and I was writing a lot of articles about WPF, and I was kind of tired of always having to repeat the same things. And so I made a library which was containing quite a lot of things, which was basically making my life easier. And then I showed that to a few people in the community, and the response was actually very good. And everybody told me, well, you should change a few things, make it more robust and more stable, and publish that as a, as an actual utility library. And so that's what I did. And, you know, henceforth, VVM Lite was born. And the important thing is that I'm not saying it's a framework. I'm saying it's a toolkit. And the reason is because it's not just libraries. And it is definitely not trying to force you to work in a certain way. But instead, it's providing you with a set of tools. So libraries are one thing, but I also have code snippets. I also have project and item templates in Visual Studio. And basically some guidance and trying to help you to build your applications more easily. Because as I always say, you know, if you can, every time you write one line of code, you have a potential for bugs. And so if you write less lines of code, you have less potential for bugs.
Yes.
And so if you can automate as much as possible of this code writing, basically you're going to have a more satisfactory situation in the end.
Absolutely. And I remember when there were a few contenders for which library for MVVM, and very quickly MVVM Lite became a de facto standard. And many, many people at Microsoft and many, many people in the community picked it up. And I enjoyed writing a few blog posts about it. And there were a couple aspects to it that you mentioned, but what we should go into. For example, the ability to bind commands as opposed to just data. So very briefly, for folks who've not worked a lot with data binding, what you experience with data binding is that if you have a control such as a label or a text box or a list, you can say, here is an object, here is a collection of objects, and they have a property, say, name on them, and I am going to bind that to this control. And then when the data changes, the control changes. And if it's two-way binding, when the control changes, the data changes.
Correct.
That's sort of the essence of data binding.
Yeah, and data binding, the great thing in data binding is that it really allows you to decouple not just your application, but also the ways that you work on it. And that's really what I love, because you can really phase it and you can really say, okay, let's start with a view model. So I'm going to expose some properties and I know what I want to show, but I don't care at this point about how it's going to be shown. And then later, I figuratively switch my hat and I put my designer hat, and then I go into Blend or any visual designer, and then I start consuming those bindings and consuming those properties and building the UI. But at this point, I'm not thinking about the way that those properties are built anymore. I'm just binding to them and knowing that the binding is going to work. Sometimes it doesn't quite work, but, you know, it's why we are developers, right? We love to debug that. But basically, once the binding is established in a correct manner, you can accept that your UI is going to be updated automatically. And so you don't have to worry about, oh, this property changed on my model. And so I have to go into my code and, you know, get this particular element and change the value, which is very, very boring code to write. So all this is basically done in a declarative manner, which is really great.
Yes. Now, flash forward 7 years, and Xamarin has gone through, in my mind, three major stages. Initially, we were talking about Mono, and we were talking about .NET on Linux. And then we turned around one day, and it wasn't that at all anymore. It was let's develop iOS and Android and use native controls, create native applications, but do it in C#. And by the way, get some code reuse because we can have a common core library. But of course, the UI is entirely separate.
Yeah.
And iOS over here, Android over there.
And by the way, use tools that we know and love, because the ability to develop in Visual Studio when you know Visual Studio well is really great. I mean, it's really something that is facilitating, and not even mentioning, you know, I don't want to make marketing for anybody, but I'm an avid user of FreeSharper. I love it. Or basically any code, you know, any automation system that you have, be it ReachHopper or any other one, really, that's really great when you can do that.
Yes, absolutely. Then, recently, they released Xamarin 3.
Yep.
And a few things were involved in that. First of all, Xamarin Studio came up to be a much more powerful and really very close to Visual Studio in some ways, not in every way, but a real alternative, especially for those of us who spend a lot of time on the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But the big news for me was Xamarin Forms, which said that you can build your UI to an abstraction that is common, and all you have to think about is the form controls, which, by the way, you can write in XAML, a XAML mm-hmm. that is very, very close to Silverlight XAML. Not mm-hmm. identical, but very close.
Mm-hmm.
And what's produced is not the common controls, but instead what's produced is, through rendering agents, is native controls. So you, for example, can, and this is my favorite example of this, you can create a, I just blocked what I want to say.
So the example I prefer in Forms, in Xamarin Forms, is the one where you build a view with tabs. And you know, Android and iOS and Windows Phone have a very different way to do tabs. And for example, in
yes,
Windows Phone,
perfect.
They have
that
this
was the example
pivot
I
control.
Wanted.
So that's kind of the best of both worlds, because you have the possibility to build your code. And you know, in Xamarin, in the classic Xamarin, I was doing air quotes because Xamarin, you know, it's still quite new, but it's already classic
yes.
somehow. So in classic Xamarin, you can share all your business code and, well, at least much of your business code and much of your view model code. And so you can reach a great level of sharing. But of course, there is always a UI layer. And in Forms, you can go even further because you can even share that UI layer. And so that's really cool. But what I like, because what I never liked into those, you know, in those hybrid solutions like PhoneGap, etc., is that it's cheating. And the firm I work for, IdentityMind, we kind of target, you know, high quality applications where we really don't want to cheat. And the clients who come to us because they know that we'll, basically that's the kind of clients who prefer to build an iOS application and an Android application and a Windows Phone application, mm-hmm. even though it costs them more money, maybe, but in the end, they have a better experience. And so that's the kind of clients that we cater to, you know. But with Xamarin Forms, you don't go into the compromise that PhoneGap is doing, basically, where you kind of cheat and you say, well, you know, it's not a native UI, but it's good enough. And for us, it's not. Instead, what you do is that you really render native controls. And so you're not cheating at all. You're saying, no, it's going, if you use a button, it's going to be an actual native Android button in Android, and it's going to be an actual native iOS button in iOS. And so that's really what I like. Now, the data binding system is really interesting because the funny thing is that the biggest challenge of porting MVVM Lite on Android, the libraries themselves, that was super easy. Basically, I did a portable class library, and as you most probably know, there is a PCL profile for Xamarin, and in fact, it's the same then for Windows 8 pretty much. So, you know, if your PCL is working for Windows 8, you can pretty much accept that, or for .NET 4.5 for that matter, you can pretty much accept that it's going to work on Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did, and I tested, and I saw that it was working great, and I was happy. And I actually pushed that to NuGet fairly fast. But I was not satisfied completely because I also wanted to have data binding on Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS. And so that's what I'm working on now. But with Forms, I didn't even have to do that because the Forms team already did that for me. Well, not for me, for everybody. But basically, you know, the side effect was that I can just take the standard MVVM Lite. I don't have to worry about all the add-ons that I'm putting now, you know, in the classic Android or iOS, because I can just go and do my data binding. And there are a few tricks that you have to know in the way that the way that we set the data context is a little bit different, but there is also a data context, so that's cool. You know, there are a few differences here and there. The way that they do resources is a little bit different, etc. Those are kind of childhood problems, I would say. It's just because Xamarin Forms is so new. But in the end, I didn't have to worry about a lot of things. I could just take the version that is working on Windows Phone, you know, plug it into Xamarin Forms, and it worked. So that was a great delight.
Yes. What I wanted to ask you is to turn that upside down for a moment.
Uh-huh.
If I'm a Xamarin Forms programmer, I can certainly create a view model folder and a class called view model for each of my pages, and I already have my data binding. So what is MVVM Lite bringing to the table? Why would I add MVVM Lite on Forms?
Well, basically for the same reason that you would add it in a Windows Phone, project, in a classic XAML project. It's going to allow you to write less code. And so, for example, instead of having to implement iNotify property change, which is the you know, the interface which allows you to raise the property change event that data binding is reacting to, well, instead of having to implement that for every one of your view models, you can derive from my view model based class, and then you have a whole lot of goodies available, you know, for free. You can, instead of having to declare and implement your iCommands, which is a commanding system, and I know we didn't explain what a command is, but basically it's kind of a way to expose a method as a property. Okay, so it's a functionality that you expose. Now, unfortunately, if you want to do that the classic way, you have to implement the iCommand interface, and that's a very, very boring interface to implement. And so in MVVM Lite, you have something called Relay Command, and Relay Command allows you to declare a property and to just say, well, when the property is called, just do that. And it's very much faster and very much easier. You can also use the built-in IOC container. So there is a very simple, and actually the name is simple IOC. So I know why I named it that, because it is easier to use than complex, you know, IOC system like Unity. But even though it is less powerful for a mobile device like a phone, most of the time it does the job. And so it's a very popular component. Etc., etc. You have quite a few components like that that you can use. And of course, that's going to allow you to build your application just like you would your Windows Phone application. And in fact, if you have Windows Phone code already, which is using MVVM Lite, well, basically, if it's a PCL, you can so a portable class library, you can just take that, put it into your Android application, and it's going to work. If it's not a PCL, if it's you know, code files, you can absolutely share the code files, and basically you have to rebuild in Android, but it's going or iOS for that matter, but it's going to work as well. And so you have this nice way of building your application, of sharing your code. In addition to that, the cool thing with Forms is that it's very close from the way that we build applications in Windows Phone or in Windows 8 or in every XAML system. So it's not just the code that you're going to be able to reuse, but also your skills. And, you know, it's even closer from what we do on Windows than Xamarin Android, because in Xamarin Android, you still have to fight your way through, you know, through your controllers, which in Android are called activities, and through the way that the UI is working. In iOS, it's even worse. You still have, you know, the learning phase, even though the business code is C#, you still have to learn your controllers and the way that the navigation is working, and that's kind of painful. In Forms, you don't have to worry about that because it is much easier and much more abstracted than in those frameworks.
Yes, in fact, in many ways, I've been saying that Xamarin Forms is how Silverlight developers can go to mobile without any effort, that it's so similar to creating Silverlight applications, WPF applications, and certainly Windows Phone applications, that it's just a very natural transition.
I think that's correct. Yeah, you know, to be totally complete, right? There are a few things in Forms, in Xamarin Forms, which are not great yet. I'm sure you've played with that a lot, and I think that the fact that you can use XAML is great. But honestly, XAML without a very good designer is you know, it's kind of painful, right? And the IntelliSense is not great either. It's, you know, it could be better. Those are all childhood's problems, and definitely I'm sure it's going to get better. And knowing the Xamarin team, I'm sure they will have a very fast turnaround, you know, about that. But still, I wanted to warn, you know, the people who listen to us, because if they just started, and especially if they come from Silverlight or WPF, or the tool set is really very, you know, very comfortable, they are going to have kind of a surprise a little bit. Yes. And I'm sure you remember in 2006 when we were doing WPF in the XML editor of Visual Studio, what was it? 2005, I guess.
Yes.
And that was really painful. So it's about the same type of experience. So it's not great yet, but it is still XAML, and it is still, you know, a good step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And you're right. There are three major drawbacks. There's no designer. So if you're writing XAML, it's absolutely by hand. And the IntelliSense is flaky. It's not only limited, but it's a little bit flaky in my experience.
Yeah, that's correct.
And the third thing is that there are only so many controls.
Yeah, I think 40 controls at this time. And so that's another thing I wanted to mention about forms, is that in my opinion right now, forms is suited for a certain type of applications. And those are applications, because the UI is going to be rendered the same. Well, it's going to be rendered using native controls, mm-hmm. but it is going to be a very similar UI for each experience. And so you cannot really, you can customize the rendering by building your own renderers, but it's kind of additional work. So my opinion about forms is that it's going to be a great framework to build applications where the user experience is maybe not your primary concern. It's going to be a fantastic native application that Android users are going to know how to use immediately. iOS users, same thing. Windows Phone users, same thing. But maybe it's not really a great consumer application where the UX is really in the foreground. I see that as being a great way to build line of business applications where, you know, maybe the application is polished, right? No question about that. Mm-hmm. But it's not an application where on each of the systems you're going to spend a lot of hours customizing the user experience for Android and customizing it for iOS and customizing it for Windows Phone. Instead, you're going to probably build a great UI with great functionality, but you're going to make it work as is on the three machines. Now, I might be off, but that's kind of my opinion at this point.
No, I think that you're not off, and I think that the folks at Xamarin would, I can't speak for them, but certainly from what I've heard, they would agree with that. I will send you a copy of my recent blog post, If I Were Miguel de Acasa.
Oh, yeah, I read that. I absolutely read that, man.
In which I suggested that I would be building on forms going forward, because I think having that level of abstraction greatly lowers the cost of entry for developers and makes people much more mm-hmm. productive. But I think you're right. It's very, very early days. Yeah. Let me, before we leave this topic, you mm-hmm. recently published MVVM Lite Toolkit Fundamentals on Pluralsight.
Correct.
Which is a wonderful course and a huge contribution. But I wanted to ask you how much of what's in that would be relevant to somebody who wants to use MVVM Lite with Xamarin.
Very much indeed. The MVVM Lite Fundamentals course is built as a way for users to learn to know the components of MVVM Lite and to see also what are the advantages of MVVM Lite over not using MVVM at all, or maybe over other systems, right? And so when you go on Xamarin, especially the classic version, but also the forms version, you're going to use those components. And most of those components are actually available as is on the Xamarin platform. And so if you want to know how a relay command works and know all the details about the relay command, and basically it's a reference course, right? So all the ways that you can customize your relay command or your view model base or your simple IOC, and all that, the course is going to give you that. And so the course is built as a very agnostic material. Basically, what I mean with that is that I tried to build samples, you know, across the board. So I built samples for Windows Phone. I built samples for WPF. I even built samples for Silverlight and for Windows 8. Not all samples are available for all the platforms, but basically what you learn with one of those samples is going to be very easily applicable to other platforms. There are a few, you know, a few cases in the last module, which is the advanced module, where I'm really doing stuff on the Windows Phone, which only makes sense on Windows Phone, or on WPF, which probably only makes sense in WPF. But it's very rare. And generally speaking, I'm really trying to build my samples in a way which makes sense on all the platforms.
Well, let me just review for anyone who's listening that the modules include Introduction to MVVM, which is a extensive introduction to MVVM, both practically and the theory. That's followed by refactoring the app to MVVM, which is followed by core components. And that talks about the library, what is in MVVM, what's not, observable objects, the relay command that you were just discussing, demos of Messenger and so forth. And then you go on, and this is where I think there's tremendous value add to a module you call the Extras. That has a number of advanced examples that include service locator and simple IOC, as well as event commanding. And then you have a module called Installing the MVVM Lite Toolkit and Additional Components.
That talks about the code snippets and project templates, item templates, which are components which are not in the library per se, but as I said, it's a toolkit, so you have stuff around it.
Yes. And then you finally have advanced examples with MVVM Lite, which talks about plugins.
For example, yeah, so that's one of the examples. I really wanted to have an official sample with plugins. And the reason why is because doing MVVM with plugins is a little bit more, it's a little bit different. It's very, very well suited for a plugin model because it's a decoupled architecture. And, you know, elements like the Messenger, for example, which allows you, for example, from your application to send a message to all the plugins, even though you don't know which plugins are loaded at the moment, right? Which is an ideal situation. You shouldn't know that that you have a number of plugins which are loaded and listening on that channel, basically. And so it's kind of a broadcasting system. And this kind of components, or even a relay command, or even all those binding scenarios that I was mentioning before, are very well suited for a plugin system, but it's also harder to do because, like, you know, as often, right, when you decouple, you also have a level of abstraction which is higher. And so I'm showing in this sample how to load one plugin or maybe two plugins. It doesn't matter, basically. I'm just going to explore, and that's WPF, by the way. So here you have the whole power of .NET. I go and explore a folder, I load the plugins, I show them, and then I interact with those plugins without having to know, do I have one plugin, two plugins, no plugins, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yes, and I will point out that you end with about 15 minutes on unit testing.
Correct. Unit testing MVVM-based applications is interesting because usually when we unit test the business code, and that's already a great advantage. But with the MVVM pattern, the nice thing is that you can go one step further and you can unit test actually a lot of your view code, because the view model is the model of the view, right? And so everything you do in your view model is going to be used to govern, to kind of direct the ways that the view is going to be interacting with the user. And so if you can test that layer as well, you increase the testability of your application by quite a few persons or quite a few dozens of persons maybe. And so that's quite interesting to do that. And so I wanted to also have a sample showing how I do that typically. And since I'm using in MVVM Lite, I'm using inversion of control and dependency injection. Those are two techniques which are really well suited for unit tests. And I wanted to show how you can do that in your view models as well.
So two questions arise from that. Mm-hmm. One would be, if someone is coming to WPF or Windows Phone or Xamarin with little experience with an MVVM library, how long is the learning curve for them to become productive with MVVM Lite?
Well, typically what I observe is that a lot of people are using elements of MVVM Lite, but I don't know many people, and I know they are out there, but I don't know many people who really use the whole thing. And so what I would recommend is use it as you need it. And so maybe watching the course, and I'm not trying to do any marketing here, but basically the reason why I wanted to build the course and why I was really happy to have this occasion with Pearl Sight is that watching the course is, I think, a great way to know what's available, but you're not going to probably need everything at once. And so you can say, okay, let's start by, you know, building my application, and maybe I can even start building it without actually integrating MVVM Lite. But at some point, I'm going to remember, oh, I saw in the course that there is this component which is probably going to help me. And so I'm going to be able to learn gradually how to integrate that. And I think it's an approach which is probably one of the main point of MVVM Lite, is that learning it can be very gradual, and so that's why the level of entry is actually easier, which is probably one of the reasons for its success, by the way, is that you can learn gradually. And one thing that really made me happy when I published the course is that I had some friends and people who have been using MVVM Lite for many years who told me, oh, wow, I didn't actually know that you can do that. And so it shows that, you know, you can use it for many years, but basically use it for what you need. But then maybe you have the chance to discover that you have also an advanced feature that you didn't know about, or maybe a different way to do things, which is maybe a little bit easier or a little bit different. And so it's, again, right, it's a very gradual way of learning. So I cannot really tell you, well, you know, in 6 months or in 3 months or in 1 month, you're going to be ready to work. It's a gradual approach. And we know that learning WPF is, you know, it's quite a steep learning curve. Learning Windows 8 has, you know, its own challenges with the whole asynchronous way and all that. Windows Phone is probably a good way to start, I would say, because, it, you know, phone applications kind of by definitions tend to be a little bit smaller and a little bit simpler than WPF apps.
And you have the advantage that there are only 23 people using your application, because there are only 23 people using Windows Phone.
I am not even going to dignify that with an answer, right? Don't forget you're enough. Talking to a European where Windows Phone is actually doing not bad at all.
Yes.
But I know that you guys in the US, you always have a kind of, you are always late by a train, right? Is that the expression?
That's interesting. I'm trying to figure out what expression you want for that. But
well, what I mean with that is that you're probably just one train behind Europe, which is already adopting the latest and greatest. That's what I meant.
I see.
No, yes. Just venturing.
As an ex-Microsoft employee, I'm actually under contract to do a little Microsoft bashing every week. So
that's for your, how do you say that? For your credibility, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I know that.
I don't want to put you on the spot at all, but one of the major players in the Xamarin space for MVVM is MVVM Cross. And can you give me a sense of the difference between that and MVVM Lite?
Yeah, sure. So MVVM Cross is a very, very powerful library developed by Stuart Lodge, who is a very nice guy. And I talk to him quite a lot when I have the occasion, and we have exchanged ideas, and he has been really very, very helpful in my, you know, my approach of, and my idea basically of putting MVVM Lite on Xamarin. And it's true that he has done awesome work in this space. And I think that there is no question that until now, until recently, when people were thinking of MVVM on Android or iOS, they were definitely thinking of MVVM Cross. Because basically there was pretty much nothing else, and it's a great library. I think that the main advantage or the main difference, let's say, between MVVM Cross and MVVM Lite is that MVVM Lite is, like the name probably shows, is lighter. And so it is an advantage and a disadvantage. It has less components, which means that it is easier to learn. It is probably less, how should I say, less complex to install into your application, to configure into your application. However, it does less. And for example, MVVM Cross has a system of plugins which allow you to, you know, to extend the basic MVVM Cross framework with a lot of things. And that's quite powerful. But of course, every time you use a plugin, you have to learn how to use this plugin. And so there is always this kind of big divide between people who love a more complex framework, which does a lot more, and people who love the simplicity and the lightness of MVVM Lite. And interestingly enough, we have exactly the same situation on the Windows side, where a lot of people are using Caliburn and Caliburn Micro. And it's kind of the same situation where, you know, Caliburn is developed by Rob Eisenberg. He's also a great guy, very, very clever guy, doing a lot of JavaScript these days, you know, for reasons I can totally understand. But my point being that his framework, Caliburn for C#, right, is really a great framework, but it is definitely more complex and more difficult to learn than MVVM Lite. And so I think that the main reason why I wanted to port MVVM Lite to Xamarin is that I believe there is space for that kind of framework, for that kind of toolkit, I should say. This is something which is going to be easier to pick up than MVVM Cross in the beginning. Probably does less, but for some applications, you can ask yourself, do I really need more or not? And in some cases, the answer is going to be no. And I think that the number of cases where the answer is no is probably enough that it makes sense for MVVM Lite to be present on Xamarin. I hope it makes sense. And again, right, I never saw, you know, the game of making open source libraries as a competitive space. I really think, and after talking to Stuart a lot of times, I really think that there is space for MVVM Lite on Xamarin. It's just going to appeal to a different type of developers.
Yes. So that leads me to ask you whether MVVM Lite for Xamarin is complete.
Well, when is a library ever complete? And the answer is probably, when I'm going to pass away, I guess. Maybe unless somebody picks it up and continues to develop it. So the answer is no. And in fact, even on Windows, it's actually not complete, right? I'm always working on new stuff. What I can tell you on the Xamarin side is that I am right now, it's really right now where a lot of my energy is lying. Because I am, like I say, I'm working on a binding system, which is going to allow you to do some pretty neat stuff in a declarative manner in code, because in classic Xamarin you don't have XAML, so you have to use code, but it is still more comfortable than the classic MVC approach, which is the standard in Android and in iOS. So I'm working on that. I'm working with people from the community on basically improving the standard offerings that you have when you build UI in Xamarin. Forms is definitely an area where I'm investing a little bit less energy, not because I'm less interested, but because they already have a binding system, they already have a commanding system, so I don't really need to invest a lot of energy there, because the Xamarin team has already done that, you know, and thank you very much, by the way. I am, however, planning at least, I know I told them that 10 times already, I will give you feedback, guys, I promise. I didn't have time to do it yet, but I have those guys on Skype, and so I'm definitely going to give them feedback. Because one thing that I didn't mention, but which is really awesome with Xamarin, is that they are extremely communicative, and they are great at listening to feedback. And you know that being an MVP and all that, giving feedback is something that I do. It's kind of a second nature, and sometimes in a very obnoxious manner.
I've never known you to be obnoxious. I have to interrupt and say, you are a very, very gentle man.
Well, I might be, but I'm also very tenacious. And so when I, the first time I talked to Microsoft people in 2006, 2007, is basically I just kept sending them emails until they were so tired that they would just reply. And I was fortunate enough to work with teams at Microsoft back then who were really great at replying to the feedback. So that was awesome. And this is how I basically built, back then, even Scott Guthrie, I mean, you send him an email, he replied. Maybe now he's kind of super busy and it's less easy. But back then in 2007, 2008, I basically, went into his office once and say, hey, we talked on email, right? And so so he's a really nice guy. And the Xamarin people are now at this stage where they are really, you know, looking for feedback. And so they bless me with quite a lot of attention. So this is really awesome. I've worked with great people there. I mean, you know, Miguel de Icaza, of course, but also Joseph Hill and James Montemagno and other evangelists. Chris Hardy has helped me numerous times on Skype as well, et cetera, et cetera. So those guys are really awesome. And so this is also some place where I want to invest some energy at this time is trying to advise them on, you know, how could you improve the tools to make them more robust? How can you maybe improve the designer to make it, you know, more enjoyable to use, et cetera. So yeah, it's a big work in progress. Definitely, it's a big, you know, big construction site, but it is awesome, and I'm really very excited about that. And by the way, I will be speaking at Evolve, which is the Xamarin conference in October. So I'm super happy that they actually asked me to submit a proposal, and the proposal was accepted. And so the talk is going to be about, you know, MVVM Lite, showing them what it is, and basically kind of around the discussion that we had right now, how can you use it, and how can you use it on classic Xamarin, and how can you use it on Xamarin Forms as well.